money and murder in hospitals. What we showed you in our previous episode was only the tip of the iceberg. Every day, countless people die in hospitals worldwide because the holy protocols must be followed at all times. And those protocols kill people, on purpose, for money. Enormous amounts of COVID incentives. What could and should have been used for the benefit of the people turned into a murdering depopulation device. But not all healthcare workers could handle this insane reality. Their hearts stayed true to their patients. They fought for their lives, mostly in vain, as they were overruled by other doctors and nurses as soon as their shift was over. One nurse who openly stepped forward is Erin Marie Kozewski, Army combat veteran and registered nurse. She worked at Elmhurst Hospital, the epicenter of the epicenter, in New York City in March 2020 as a travel nurse during the first so-called COVID-19 wave. The things she saw there horrified her. Patients who were brought in for anything non-COVID related, who were even tested negative, were labeled positive just because of the money it brought in. They were drugged up with sedatives and put on ventilators, brought in by inexperienced staff and interns.
A lot of these patients are really coming in with anxiety because everybody is, they're scared. You know, they're worried and they're breathing fast and then they get all nervous. So this is how the people are like coming in. And a lot of them are on either Medicaid or Medicare. They're poor. They're from, you know, a lower class. We're at a public hospital. They need the funding. So take them. They take them and they tell them pretty much that if they don't get on a vent, then they're probably not going to survive. But the reality is, if they get on that vent, the likelihood of them walking out the hospital is slim to none. So you don't have actual doctors that know critical care, ICU doctors on these floors. There's a dentist and there are residents with these. So residents are essentially students, and these people that are in vents are essentially meaning like these residents are like practicing their skills on them. So they're practicing central lines, they're practicing like invasive procedures that are really unnecessary. A 37-year-old, he came in talking. He was very terrified. He was just like, you know, totally alert, knew what was going on, and they convinced him to be on a vent. Now he's dead. I compare this hospital to a third world country. I've been in a third world country hospital in Iraq. The Iraq hospital is better than this one.
Many patients died due to the use of improper settings by inexperienced operators, resulting in blowing out people's lungs. She witnessed gross negligence. She described how the resident physicians refused to consider treatments like vitamins and hydroxychloroquine that had turned out to be very successful in other hospitals, other states, other countries. Instead, patients were funneled towards ventilators where they were left to die. According to Wozewski, all of her patients died, mostly unnecessarily. Their loved ones were told they died of COVID-19. Their deaths were used to further falsify the statistics, and the mainstream media spread the lies and kept the real pandemic alive, the fear pandemic. Wozewski decided to speak up, but realized nobody would believe her, so she went undercover and filmed everything.
He came in with a stroke.
I know, that's what 26-1 was, a stroke.
And no COVID, and now he's got COVID, and he's on a vent. He's not DNR, but we're treating it as DNR?
When someone is close, we'll pull the code card up and be ready. you know, we're ready. I had the epi ready. That's one of the first things we do. And she wouldn't let me give it. So this was that woman. And the entire time, and this was over his body, his alive body, and we're arguing, and she's laughing, she was smirking. And how this man died was the nurses arguing with the doctors over him as he was dying. And she's smirking the entire time. It was probably one of the worst experiences in my entire life. But all I can think about is that at least he knows that we were fighting for him when he died.
This is wrong. It is straight up it is wrong. And I am 37 years old. I have been in a hospital since I've been 16. Military hospitals that well.
What aspect of it was wrong to you?
Calling a patient a DNR when there's no order for it and telling us, like straight up telling us, you're not doing anything. That's wrong. If that was my brother or my father or anybody, I would be furious. And I guarantee you, if I called his family right now and told them what happened, they would be furious too.
I flipped. We were all crying. There's a lot of nurses that know that this is wrong, but they're afraid to like say anything publicly.
What killed him? Did the vent kill him?
Yeah. Oh, yes. They're so sedated. He had probably 8 or 9 drips. It's all sedation. It's all sedation and paralytics. So you are asleep. It is essentially like you're under, you know, you're in surgery, you know, and they put you under like that for a good month straight. There's no way you can recover from something like that.
Subsequently, she wrote a book, Undercover Epicenter Nurse, How Fraud, Negligence, and Greed Led to Unnecessary Deaths at Elmhurst Hospital.
I've been taking care of a patient for like a week right now, and this is my and I called them. And he's been doing great. He had a trach put in and he's been doing great. He's been talking and like, or communicating with me. He's telling me, like laughing at my jokes and talking to his kids on FaceTime a couple days ago. And I told his kids that he was doing fine. And he was. And today I was given him and they came in and they told me that I need to leave the room and I have to give report to somebody else. They took me from that unit and they put me in the emergency room and they don't need me there, but they put me there and I'm not even there like 20 minutes. I'm not even there 20 minutes and I hear a code being called in my room that I was just left. And it's him. And he was fine. He was fine. I don't understand. Nothing makes sense. Like, why would they take me out of his room and put me in the ED? And then not 20 minutes later, he's dead. It doesn't make sense. Like, did they kill him? He was my one patient that was gonna live. He shouldn't have died. I don't know what they did to him. Something's not right.
I know not everybody's gonna live, but these people aren't dying from COVID. Let me give you several examples here. A patient had a heart rate of 40 and the resident started doing chest compressions on him, which is not what you do. You just externally pace them or you you know, give him some atropine. And then, you know, I run in there to stop him from doing chest compressions on somebody with a fucking pulse. And then he decides to push epi. He throws some pads on them, on him, to defibrillate the guy. He has a heart rate of 40 in a stable bradycardic rhythm. We just need to give him some, like, some atropine and pace him. He fucking defibrillates him and kills him. The director of nursing was standing out there, and I'm like, can you stop him? He's going to kill that patient. He's going to kill that patient. And the director of nursing just shook his head, and I turned around, and he killed the dude. This is here, they're just gonna let them rot on the vent. They're medically mismanaging these patients, and nobody is listening. They don't care what is happening to these people. They don't. I'm literally coming here every day and watching them kill them. It's like going in the fucking Twilight Zone. Like, everyone here is okay with this. The only way I can kind of put this into context for everybody is, and this is going to be kind of an extreme example, this is like really the only thing I can come up with, is like if we were in Nazi Germany and they were like taking the Jews to go put them in a gas chamber, I'm the one like there saying, hey, this is not good, this is bad, this is wrong, we should not be doing this. And then everyone tells me, hang in there, you're doing a great job, you can't save everybody, you're amazing, you're a great nurse. Guys, I know I'm a fucking good nurse. I know I go in there and I give it 500% every day. What I need is someone to help me save these people from being killed. Okay? From gross negligence and complete medical mismanagement. Can someone come up with like some type of a solution for me? Because I'm kind of out of ideas. You know what I mean? And try and talk with some of the other nurses here, and they're like, well, you can't save everybody. And they all know what's happening. They all agree with me, and they all just shake their heads. And I'm like, am I the only one who is not a sociopath to think that this is okay? They're murdering these people. I'm pretty sure that when you defibrillate somebody with a heartbeat of 40 in a stable rhythm and you kill them, that's murder. And I'm pretty sure that when you put somebody's PEEP up to like 25 and PEEP doesn't go past, I think, like 15, 20, and you blow their lungs out and they die, I'm pretty sure that's murder. I mean, I've just watched a doctor drop a central line and rupture like the subclavian vein and the guy bled to death. I mean, COVID didn't break that central line. COVID didn't kill that guy.
Nine days ago, I opened an intensive care unit to care for the sickest COVID-positive patients in this city. The method that we program the ventilator, one based on a notion of respiratory failure as opposed to oxygen failure, that this method being widely adopted at this very moment in every hospital in the country, which aims to increase pressure on the lungs in order to open them up, is actually doing more harm than good. And that the pressure we are providing to lungs, we may be providing to lungs that cannot stand it, that cannot take it. And that the ARDS that we are seeing, that the whole world is seeing, may be nothing more than lung injury caused by the ventilator.
I am a respiratory therapist, been doing this for 21 years. Basically right now, and the way it has been the last couple of months, when they locked us down, is that any patient that came in with a respiratory problem was labeled COVID. Now that doesn't matter if it's you got stage 4 lung cancer and pancreatitis and heart disease and liver failure and everything else. You're still, because you come in with breathing problems, you're labeled a COVID patient. Maybe they died, then they would die of COVID and not of stage 4 lung cancer. So you have to recognize that if every single patient is under COVID investigation and dies, then that goes into a COVID death, and they're showing the numbers like a football game to scare you. They're showing you loading bodies into a tractor trailer to scare you. I've never in my career ever seen bodies loaded into a tractor trailer. It just doesn't happen. I wonder if those were even bodies. I really don't believe it. All of this stuff is fake. Okay, look at our ventilators. This is non-invasive ventilation here, CPAP or BiPAP. This is a mask that gets strapped on you, and we can help you breathe with that. We're not allowed to use those. Since COVID came out, they said absolutely not. You have to let the patient crash and go straight to a ventilator. I'm not completely convinced this is a virus. I've been doing this a long time. Do your own homework. Do your research. Y'all need to be asking some really hard questions here and questioning your government and questioning the people in charge and also questioning your doctors, because the doctors believe this stuff just as much as everybody else does, but they're not looking at the real information. All they're doing is they're told something, and hey, guess what? They got lives, they got jobs, they got everything else you got plus some. They're not going to go look it up. They look up the little things that they're told to look up, and that's it, just like anybody else would. Okay, so, you know, these questions really have to be asked, and they're shutting the world down, the world, okay? And they're putting our kids and grandkids in severe debt that will never be paid off. And if you think of how many taxes you're paying now, can you imagine what our children and our grandchildren are going to have to pay for this scam? So please, look up, do your homework, ask questions.
How was this even possible? How could any of this ever happen? Because of the following three reasons. One, the money a murder capstone, the immense incentives given to hospitals by the government if the COVID scam was kept alive and patients were left to die. Two, because in many countries, family members were not allowed near patients, so there were no eyewitnesses to the gross negligence and murder. And three, because for instance in the case of New York, Senator Cuomo had signed an executive order stating that no doctor or nurse could ever be held liable for anything gone wrong to the patients in New York City during the pandemic. They had carte blanche to do anything. There was no supervision. There was no obligation to keep records and paperwork in order. These three ingredients turned out to be fatal for countless innocent people who were brought in thinking they were in safe hands. Not just in New York, but throughout the country and the rest of the world. There are many more healthcare whistleblowers. We urge you to find them on the internet, for instance via the highly recommended Stu Peter Show. Many whistleblowers are now under federal whistleblower protection. COVID patients in America's hospitals today are actually being treated worse than prisoners in American jails. They are being held hostage and segregated from loved ones. They have no visitation rights, no right to decide their treatment. They are refused basic fluids, nutraceuticals, and nutrients. And the reason is money. Is it a new phenomenon that doctors choose money over saving their patients? No, it is not. We found an eerily similar account in this French book, Chronique de Genève, The Chronicles of Geneva, written by François Bonivard in 1867, about the plague hitting Geneva in 1530. An entire hospital was set up for plague victims alone. It received money from patients, merchants, and the magistrate gave incentives on a monthly basis. If a patient died without a family, all the property went to the hospital. But then the plague subsided. The hospital started losing money as subsidies depended on the number of patients. And so the doctors got organized. They began to cut the plague ulcers from the bodies of the dead. They dried them and ground them into powder, which they spread on door handles in the dead of night. That's right. They went from house to house, downtown Geneva, and secretly and intentionally spread the plague among healthy citizens in order to raise the numbers of patients and thus the number of financial incentives. But one of the doctors got tired of this nightly adventures. After all, he had to care for his patients during the day as well. Double shift, so to speak. He became careless and threw a bundle of dust into the crowd during the day. But the dust smelled awful, and the people recognized it as the foul smell of the Black Death. The doctor was arrested and tortured until he named each and every doctor and nurse who was involved in this murderous scheme. They were all arrested and executed. 1530. Almost 5 centuries later, nothing much seems to have changed when money is offered in large quantities. Now, we're not saying that the doctors of today should be punished in a similar fashion, but we do ponder sometimes what will happen when people wake up and realize what really happened to their loved ones in the hands of the doctors and nurses they trusted. We wouldn't be surprised if they'd have to run for their lives. Let's hope they will get a fair trial. After all, these are not the 1500s anymore, right? As we speak, a Dutch hospital published an article about changing palliative care for COVID-19 patients. In short, more midazolam, more narcotics in general, and less or preferably no visitors. No visitors? No eyewitnesses to the murder of innocent loved ones who are too drugged up and too confused to defend themselves. And as if that weren't enough, in May of this year, the WHO will gain total control over each and every country in case of a future pandemic. At an upcoming conference on May 22-28, 2022, ultimate control over the world's healthcare systems is scheduled to be delivered, pending a vote, to the WHO that will give sweeping power to the WHO's Director General to declare health emergencies or crises in any nation, even if that nation opposes it. The Director General will be able to declare these health crises based merely on his personal opinion or consideration that there is a potential threat. People will lose the right to be protected by their constitution. The WHO, faithful vassal of the UN, will have total power and control over you. Make no mistake. When that happens, you will feel like the people of Shanghai right now, with no rights, no liberties, no free choice, and no hope. Like George Orwell wrote in his infamous 1984, if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. Not a pretty picture, right? So, is there any hope at all? Of course there is. There always is. But the main problem with humanity is that they want to be saved. They want a savior, or at least someone who does the job for them. And that's not going to happen. This shift, this great awakening, can only take place for the people, by the people. In other words, you will have to become active. Now, we're not talking about going to demonstrations or signing petitions. We are talking about something completely different. Do you want to know what that is and how easy it really is? Then follow me to part 24.